listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Milner into Salah. He's turned away from Mario Rui. It's Mo Salah. It's in! Breakthrough for Liverpool. And guess who? Mo Salah scores. And as things stand, it's Liverpool who are going into the last 16. 1-0 will do.
Well, there you go, Liverpool fans here in Houston and around the country and around the world. You are into the round of 16. Advantage BMW, my good friends down there, Philip, Justin, Sergio, I thank those guys very much for the support of this show. Advantage BMW is a great place to either go down and purchase, lease, own. Do it at Advantage BMW Midtown. It's worth the drive in town. Now, as you know, I love the drive of a BMW. It's fun. It's the ultimate driving machine. I got a 5 Series, absolutely love it. But the other part of it that was a big sell to me was the customer service. It's second to none. Advantage BMW Midtown has you covered with sales, service, and finance. It can be done so easy. Get that hometown advantage at Advantage BMW Midtown, Advantage at BMWHouston.com. Great guys down there. And again, Bud Light, we do want to thank you that and remind you that Bud Light throughout the year has always supported this show. They've been supporting me on the radio for many, many years, and nothing goes better together than great friends and Bud Light. So great friends are you, the listeners, you that go to the podcasts, you that call in. If you want to call in right now, you can. You have an opinion on anything soccer-wise, 713-780-3776. But Bud Light knows that moments spent with friends are the ones that matter. So grab a bucket of Bud Lights, get together with your friends, make tonight tomorrow's story. With Bud Light, you're not just drinking beer, you're building friendships. So my thanks, as always, to Camilo Rojas, Bud Light, for their support of the show. By the way, our thoughts, our prayers out to former LA Galaxy coach Ziggy Schmidt, who's in intensive care at the UCLA hospital. Don't know much else that's going on, but real concern there for Ziggy. As always, throughout my career, been very open, very understanding of the job that we do, trying to promote the sport here in the media and talk about the game on a real level, not just the fluff stuff, but really trying to grow the game through real engagement and posing real questions and really getting deep into things sometimes. So our thoughts are with Ziggy Schmidt. Now, here's a little bit of this one just struck me today, and I can't get this out of my head. So Ziggy Schmidt is in intensive care at UCLA Medical Center. I know exactly where this is in LA, and so many people do. And then last night, a couple miles away, is Caleb Porter at an LA Lakers game, sitting with Chris Klein. And of course, the show goes on. But, you know, you just kind of sit there and think, you're sitting there and you're going, here's the winningest coach of all time in Major League Soccer. Here is a guy that has won a number of cups for the LA Galaxy. For all I know, he may be fighting for his life. I don't know. But if he's in intensive care, it's serious. And then, you know, a couple miles away, people he's worked with, are trying to seal a deal on hiring the next coach. And I believe it's going to be Caleb Porter in Los Angeles. But it just kind of struck me. And it's not, the show goes on. I drop, somebody else will be doing the work that I do. I mean, that's just the way it goes. But it just kind of struck me because I know all the people involved and just kind of made me sad, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. 713-780-3776. So here's some of the Dynamo news. And before I get to that, I want to just answer the last question. There are some talented players at the College Cup. I mentioned Andrew Gutman, the left back for Indiana. He's going to be part of the Chicago Fire. I don't think there's any question. He's an up-and-down left-sided player. He can play in midfield. He can play as a left back. I like the right back for Akron, Mohamed Abdi. Got up and down the right side. Definitely has some MLS-like characteristics. And there's a lot of talented players out there. Those were a couple that stood out. There was a ton of good play by a ton of players. The two outside backs for Maryland had an outstanding tournament. You had big Donovan Pines for Maryland at 6'5", a center back that everybody's raving about. So a lot of talent. There were under 20 national team players on Indiana. Michigan State had talented players as well. But then you have to look in the context of Major League Soccer, and you do have to remind yourself that creative players out of college very rarely are going to get a role of being a striker in MLS or, you know, given the reins of being an orchestrator on a team. We can look at some American strikers in the league, Dom Dwyer, Will Bruin, Jassy Sardis, amongst them. Sasha Kljestan is a number 10 type midfielder. But to be fair and to be truthful here, most are going to be defenders and midfield players. And they're going to be workmanlike. They're going to be versatile. I think Julian Gressel's an exception at Providence, although, you know, remember, he grew up in Germany. But did play the college game at Providence, and the college game was important to him. So the College Cup, to me, does show off talent, and there's talented college players at other programs around the country. It's still a part of our landscape. And when I do these College Cups, this is the seventh one I've done in a row, and I didn't realize that in play-by-play with Kate Margraf on this one. You do have to remember, you know, when I'm up in that booth, I reflect on how many college coaches there are around the country. There's 210 NCAA men's programs. So I'm thinking of some of my colleagues that I've known that are part of programs that just fell short, or a former youth player, Chad Riley, at Notre Dame that just fell short. And the college game gets bagged on unfairly sometimes. These guys are talented that are building and running these programs. You know, for Akron to continue to have a defining style, for Sarovsky to win a fourth title at Maryland. I can go on and on, and I don't want to miss out on people. But, you know, you do, before you poo-poo the college game, you do have to understand it is a big part of the landscape and has been in the United States for a long time. And that every day there are college coaches going out, mentoring and teaching students, and really are involved in an honorable profession. Here's a case in point. Charlie Inverso is a guy that's very well known in New Jersey. Coach of Rider. Rider gave Akron a real run in their first game. And he's been in New Jersey forever. He's touched countless numbers of soccer players. Dave Major, St. John's, another friend of mine. I mean, I could go on and on here with the list. And I don't want to do that because I know I'm going to not say something about somebody. But my point is, Charlie Inverso, all I did was mention that, you know, Akron got past a very difficult Rider in the NCAA tournament. And he sends me a message today thanking me for mentioning Rider. Now, I didn't do it for any contrived reason. I just did it because it's part of the story. But that's how gracious and gratified some of these college coaches are. And, you know, they're building their programs, they're marketing, they got to keep kids in class, they got to monitor grades. They're doing a lot of things you don't know they're doing. It's not an easy job. And it's not a job everybody could do either, by the way. So I think we do have to tip our hat every time at this time of the year when the NCAA Women's College Cup and the NCAA Men's College Cup and then Division II, III, all the way down to the NAIA, all these levels. Really good work being done by people and very honorable people running programs. What can you say when it comes to having a more honorable profession than working with young kids or working with college kids and guiding them and being a big influence in their lives? And trust me, you get older, you get a little bit older, you are remembering the people that you learned from. And maybe it was tough love sometimes, and it needed to be. But you learn about that. And that goes right into the youth community and everything else. But there is something very refreshing about the college game. And, you know, we do a whole day on Thursday where, you know, three players from Maryland come in the room and then the coach comes in after and you talk to these kids. I'm telling you, every year I'm continually impressed. The confidence, their ability to talk about the game, the ability to express what their coaches want. what their program is about, what Akron soccer is, what Maryland soccer is, what Indiana soccer is, what Michigan State soccer is. So it's pretty cool. All right, so let me move on, because Frederick asked the question about why did the NCAA move to a smaller stadium? Well, I think it's very, very clear why they moved to a smaller stadium. The model of doing this in MLS stadiums, frankly, wasn't working. It was obvious. All you had to do was look at the games in Philly, Sporting Kansas City, even in Houston. We did a little bit better than those markets, but it wasn't working. Wasn't enough support, wasn't working. And I think a place like Santa Barbara and UCSB, which was a wonderful setting, and I was a little disappointed there weren't more fans, but with those fans packed in, it looked better on television. And when you got the mountains on one side of you and the Pacific Ocean on the other, it's a good thing. It'll go to Cary, North Carolina last year. I thought the NCAA Women's College Cup looks spectacular with Florida State and Mark Krikorian winning it over the University of North Carolina and Anson Dorrance. So there you have it. That's my take. We'll take a break here. We're going to come back. We got Dynamo Talk. Victor Ariza is going to join me. He's going to lay on some. He's picked his five best tweets out. We're going to react to those. A couple of good ones. Only downside to MLS Cup for me is that artificial stuff. Not authentic. And I know everybody's going to go, Glenn, shut up, man. But you know what? It affects the play, and you know it. And it's going to affect somebody's joints one day, too. I can prove that to you, because I got titanium in a few areas. All right, Tyler Scott, you ready? Want to take a break? Bud Light break.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, thank you, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. They are our presenting sponsor. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, are going to bring you a personalized approach. DaspitLaw.com. 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. Whether you're getting a car accident, motorcycle, industrial, construction, the Daspit Law Firm has you covered. They're going to work for you 24/7, nights and weekends. Get the representation you need. Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Proud sponsors of Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. The place down in Edo, Kings Court, 903 Hutchins. Get over there, 13 monitors. A number of supporters groups camp out down there. Manchester United, Chelsea, Rooftop Deck Spectacular, Kings Court, Houston. TX.com. Go in and say hello to Jay. And as always, thank you to Bud Light and Advantage BMW, Danish Inspirations, and Liberty Kitchen. All right. France 2019, U.S. got a tremendous draw. I mean, this is wonderful. I mean, if you're looking at the draw, they get Thailand, Chile, and Sweden. They get to play Sweden in their third and final game in the group, which is where you want Sweden heading in to the knockout phases. So, France 2019 this summer is going to be very, very exciting on the women's side. And we did mention that today, the Houston Dash announcing a new coach, James Clarkson. You know, he was on the youth development side, then was moved into another position. He will now head up the Houston Dash in their upcoming season in the NWSL. I wanted to tell you about Matt Jordan. I had a conversation with him on the phone today. So we all know Eric Alexander got picked up in the expansion draft by FC Cincinnati. Matt feels that there's good cover for Cabezas with Darwin Serén, Eric Bird, Boniac Garcia, all those guys coming back. He is looking at a midfielder in Europe again. He mentioned he did not want to – well, no, I don't know if it's in Europe. He has been to Europe. But he didn't want to let me know, if this player that's on the table, a midfielder, is in Europe or South America. Said that he wants to complement the pieces they currently have, wants the team to get younger. I said to him, I'm assuming Alejandro Fuenmayor is being considered a starter. What type of center back do you want next to him? I would assume it would be somebody a little bit older that can guide him, experienced. but probably not beyond the age of 30. That's what I'm thinking. He kind of agreed with somebody with a bit more experience, because Fuenmayor needs to be guided. I don't think there's any question. AJ De La Garza being protected. I asked him, is that a validation that his knee is good and you're happy with where the recovery has come from the knee injury? Absolutely, yes. Michael De La Russo was at the College Cup. The Dynamo will have a pick in the MLS Super Draft, first round, number 8, and then one in the 3rd round. All right. Victor Ariza rejoins me here. Let's talk a couple tweets here. What do you got?
Atlanta, you were next level. That was with the MLS Twitter handle put out a couple days ago. Not everybody was a fan of the final. Twitter user Jonathan McGrain says, outstanding talent. But if Atlanta is the future of MLS with covered stadiums, plastic pitches, and college basketball atmosphere coming out.
He's got a point. Authenticity. If we're going to say we want to be like the Premier League one day, grass fields are where it's at. I don't mind a dome stadium. That doesn't bother me, but surface does. And listen, every time you watch a game on an artificial surface, there are balls that run away from people. With that ball into the feet, the poor control from Jeremy Obobisi, would that have run away from him as far? Touches that go different places, balls that run over the end line that'll die on grass and go into people's paths. And let me tell you, Atlanta United plays on artificial surface, along with Portland, Seattle, as good as anybody. But they are the best on artificial surface, Atlanta United. And you remember that play with Obobisi, that was poor control that led to the signal that Michael Parkhurst would get that tackle in, and it would lead to the goal. And if you remember Michael Parkhurst, he was on this show talking about how his game has changed and how Tata Martino wants different things out of him, wants him taking risks, getting in front of people and winning tackles. When he saw the poor control, he was like a shark to blood on that play, and that led to the opening goal. So that, again, the high line and challenging, a very big piece from Tata Martino in stretching the game of guys like Michael Parkhurst and Jeff Larenowitz. By the way, Nadal Baba has put some in here. The great Baba family, Nadal and Ahmad, out of Houston, professional soccer players. Nadal, a hello to you and your family. And Nadal's pumping up the college game. All right, number 2.
Yeah, FC Cincinnati building a lot of the roster today. Tom Bogart tweets out 2 screenshots. Says a play in 2 acts. And this is Kendall Watson today, who had a roller coaster of emotions, I think. So earlier today, Paul Tenorio had tweeted out, sources tell me Cincinnati's finalizing a deal that will send in essentially Kendall Watson to Cincinnati. Kendall Watson retweets this saying, really interesting. Everyone knows all the rumors, and the last guy to know things is a player or agent. Well, a few hours later, Kendall Watson tweets out with a picture, I'm so excited to join FC Cincinnati and their amazing fans. Thrilled to help lead the way as the club moves into MLS.
No words need to be said. He played in the World Cup with Costa Rica. Keep it going. We got 2 minutes. We got to get through these next 3. Let's go, Victor.
Chavi Sol works for Univision. Tweeted out Liga MX. He likes to tweet a lot of stats. In the last 10 tournaments, remember Mexico has short tournaments, there have been the winners of the league have been foreign coaches. Miguel Herrera was the last Mexican coach. That was in Clausura 2013.
Miguel pulling off some tactical stuff in that 6-1 win over Pumas with the wide game there. All right, go on.
Stephen Goff reports today that Telemundo Deportes announced that it will carry all 52 Women's World Cup matches live on either Telemundo or Universo. Fox Sports has the English language rights. I assume we're making an announcement on them.
Great on Fox and Telemundo. Great for the women's game. One more. We got a minute.
Last one comes from Tanya Janjuli, who used to work here in Houston, reporting on the Texans, now with covering the Lakers. Quote of LeBron James, who today was talking about, when asked about Dwayne Wade, saying one thing we don't talk about enough is how we gain custody of his kids. Talking about Wade, an African-American man gaining custody of his sons. We talk about other stories so much. We never talk about that side. I think great on LeBron James for dictating the conversation when maybe asked a different question and trying to put a positive spin on it.
Okay. When don't we talk about LeBron? All right, Victor, great job. We appreciate that. When we go to break right now, caller number 5, you got a pair of tickets to Club America, Santos Laguna. And then we're going to go into Liga MX talk about the final between Club America and Cruz Azul with Tom Marshall of ESPN FC. I'm going to also ask him about Tata Martino going to Mexico, what we expect from that, and some of the young talent playing in Liga MX. We'll take a break right now. I think I said caller number five. Club America, Santos Laguna tickets here in Houston.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Doesn't get better than this when you're talking about Liga MX final between Club America and Cruz Azul. All of this happening in Mexico City at the Estadio Azteca. Before we get to that, quick word here for BMW and Advantage BMW in Midtown. Driven a BMW for years. I've leased, I've owned from Advantage BMW. I love the drive of the vehicle. Have a 5 Series, absolutely love it. It's the ultimate driving machine. The other thing I love about the customer service at BMW in Midtown, Advantage BMW, it's there. It's second to none. It will take care of you top to bottom. They've got you covered with sales, service, and finance. It can be done so easy. Get the hometown advantage at Advantage BMW Midtown, AdvantageBMWHouston.com. Say hello to Philip, Justin, and Sergio. They love soccer. Another guy that loves soccer is ESPN FC writer Tom Marshall. He joins us now. Tom, how are you?
I'm good. Preparing to go to Mexico City for the big final. It was all America, and yeah, just really, really looking forward to this.
All right, Tom, I know there's a lot of storylines around the Liga MX final between Cruz Azul and Club America. The one we have all heard here in the States is Cruz Azul finally can kind of exercise the demons of not having won a title. But what are some of the big storylines in Mexico City?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's Cruz Azul finished top of the regular season standings, Club America second. You know, it's a Mexico City derby, so, you know, I think it's going to be absolutely intense between the fan bases, both of them playing in Estadio Azteca these days. So, you know, 70,000 plus for both games. I think it's going to be, I don't know, it's going to be one of those events that's a great kind of advert for Liga MX. And, you know, the first thing you said, Glenn, there, I mean, the fact that Cruz Azul haven't won a title in 21 years, the fact that it's one of Mexico's big four teams, I mean, it just creates this kind of just this, people here, they're not going to be able to take their eyes off this game. And it's basically because of mainly Cruz Azul. I mean, can Cruz Azul do it? We've seen them all the regular season. They've been absolutely great. You know, they play in a kind of counter-attacking kind of football. They're basing on the play on kind of transitions. And they've shown they can beat every team. I mean, that's not in doubt. What is in doubt, mentally, knowing that the baggage that this club carries, the fact they've lost 5 finals since they last won the title in 1997, those are the issues. And last time Cruz Azul reached the final was 2013. They faced Club America. They were 2-0 up with 2 minutes to go. And America ended up winning the title via the goalkeeper, Moises Muñoz, heading in an injury time equaliser. I mean, you know, there's so much baggage going into this game for Cruz Azul that it's just going to be fascinating to see if this group of players now can be the one that can break down that kind of mental barrier and lift the title for the club.
He's Tom Marshall, ESPN FC. Cruz Azul downed Monterrey to advance to this 2018 Apertura final. They got a 1-0 victory at the Estadio Azteca, and that's how they booked their place over Rayados. And then Club America, in their first leg, it was a 1-1 draw against Pumas. Diego Lainez, the young talent, scoring the goal for Club America. Second leg, though, I want to get into Miguel Herrera and these changes that he made. He relied on a wide game. Talk about Miguel Herrera, the tactician, because this led to an absolute slaughter. A slaughter of Unam Pumas, 6-1 by Club America.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, honestly, Glenn, I'm not a massive, massive fan of Miguel Herrera as a head coach, but I think we have to also, you know, you have to take a step back and you have to give him a lot of respect for what he's achieved, you know, since leaving the Mexico national team in 2014. I mean, this of 2015, sorry. I mean, this is a guy now who, you know, he's reached another final. He's moving, you know, switching between a back five and a back four quite a lot. He switched it up in the second leg against Pumas. He introduced Joe Corona, the US international. He introduced him into midfield to try and get a little bit more control. And it completely worked. It kind of took the ball off Pumas. Pumas' goalkeeper, Saldivar, made a couple of mistakes. But, you know, America through Ibarra and Diego Lainez, basically down the wing, just destroyed Pumas and the Pumas fullbacks. And, you know, it was a devastating performance. And really, the rivalry between America and Pumas is probably greater than the rivalry between America and Cruz Azul. I mean, for Pumas fans, there's no doubt America is the big number one enemy. And for America to beat them 6-1 in such a big game, it was absolutely historic. And, you know, it's one of those results that's going to go down basically in history. And the confidence that gives Club America now going into this final against Cruz Azul, I mean, you know, America hasn't lost in 15 games. They've lost one game in the last 20 league games. I mean, this is a team really that is, you know, it's peaked exactly at the right time. And Herrera's taken quite a lot of criticism, you know, since leaving the national team and even during the national team stint. But really, he hasn't done too much wrong in terms of what he's done on the field. I mean, there's been a couple of incidences due to his character, but he's really got this Club America team into gear now and really fired up for this final.
Now, obviously, these were tactical moves that worked out for Miguel Herrera in the second leg against Unam Pumas. But when you look at him as a coach, Tom, is he more of a kind of a motivator, uplifting kind of spirit type guy? Where do you rate him as a tactician?
I think tactically, I think that's been the big question mark. I would say that, you know, what he's done this season specifically, and but over the last couple of years as well, he has definitely improved that side of his game. But, you know, while he's still in Mexico, there's always going to be that doubt. Because I think Miguel Herrera, in terms of what he's proven within Mexico, I don't think there can be too many doubts. I mean, the way that he relates to players, the way that he kind of gets the players on side, he brings together the group, and he gets the players playing for him and playing his way. And he's very, very good at that. And you know, that's shown in the results. It's just the doubt with Miguel Herrera is if you step it up a different level, and I'm sure we're going to be talking, you know, about Tata Martino, for example, a little bit later. Yeah. I mean, you look at what he's done at Atlanta, and you think if Tata Martino hadn't had all the experience before that, that would also be the question for Martino. Can he step it up? If he comes to Mexico, can he step it up? So Herrera's not had that experience outside of the country. So I think that's the question mark about Piojo Herrera right now. You know, and I'd love to see him. I would absolutely love to see him one day in MLS or even in Europe or a different national team, just to see how he translates as a coach, as a person, you know, kind of culturally and emotionally as well, outside of the context of Mexican soccer. It'd be absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, no, you know what? You bring up something amazing. I'm thinking about that as you're saying that. And you know, without a doubt, you have to have the ability to change, to understand the differences in the leagues. You know, all of those different things would have to occur. I mean, he would have to change as a manager in some respects, not all. And I think that's why it's interesting to see what's going to have happen in San Jose with Matias Almeida. And will San Jose provide him the resources to do the job out there? I find that incredibly interesting with a super talented manager. He's Tom Marshall, ESPN FC. So let's get back to talking about this game with Cruz Azul. How do you see this game from the tactical perspective? Who do you see as the aggressors in this, especially maybe in the context of the first leg?
Yeah, I think it definitely America. You know, America's home game. I know they're both at the same stadium. On paper, it's America's home game. There are no away goals, so it kind of takes that kind of element out of it. But yeah, I definitely see America being on the front foot. Cruz Azul, I think, will play quite cautiously. I mean, to be honest, that's the style that suits them. In the semi-final against Monterrey, again this season, a team that kind of almost don't want to have the ball. They're quite a direct team for Mexico, definitely. And I think Cruz Azul struggled, because Cruz Azul in that semi-final had more of the ball, and they struggled to kind of create and get through the defence. I think Cruz Azul are best when they don't have the ball, when they're winning it back. And that's what Caixinha works on really hard in training. He wants to win it back high up the pitch. And he wants to, you know, a couple of touches before getting it into the box. It's not kind of a team that he's going to have possession, 50 passes, and then get it into the box. It's quite a vertical team. And so, yeah, I definitely see Club America being more of the, having more possession. And then Cruz Azul, especially in the first leg, sitting back a little bit. Very, very, the best defensive team in the league, and Club America the best attacking team. So I think kind of that sums it up. I think that's what we're going to see. But, you know, both these teams have got goals in them, Glenn. I don't think it's going to be, I think it's going to be a really, really good game. I don't think there's much between them either, you know, player for player. I think if you look to one advantage, I'd say I like Caixinha a lot. I think he's a great tactician, and I think he'll have his team really, really well set up to take advantage of America's weaknesses. But, yeah, look out for set pieces as well, because America just cannot stop scoring goals from set pieces. So, yeah, just so many elements of this game. But I honestly think it's one of these games that I can't imagine a scenario where it's not worth watching. You know what I mean? It's like it's going to be a great series. It's almost a guarantee.
No, I'm excited about it. First leg is Thursday night. Then it turns around on Sunday, both at the Estadio Azteca. You mentioned something in there interesting to me, and we're talking to Tom Marshall of ESPN FC, wonderful writer. Get his stuff over at ESPN.com. Just go to Leagues, click on Liga MX, and you'll get Tom's wonderful takes on everything. You mentioned the vertical game. How much of a change have you seen with teams in Mexico playing or at least sprinkling in phases of their game that's more direct and more vertical?
Well, no, I mean, it's a fascinating question, because I honestly think it has changed. Honestly, you know, if you look at the semifinals this season, three of the four teams, I think, had less than 50% average possession over the regular season. So it's almost like the teams that have been most successful this season are the ones that have had least possession. And I think, I don't know, I don't want to exaggerate, but I think when Caixinha came in to Santos Laguna a few years ago now, as a Portuguese coach, as a European who's very, very well, you know, educated about the game, and I think he spotted a weakness. And I think he spotted the weakness that every Mexican team, or the majority of Mexican teams, want to have the ball. It's almost a cultural thing as well. The Mexican player is so technically gifted that it's almost like a given that you're supposed to play out the back, you know, that you're supposed to build up the ball through midfield. And I think that Caixinha came into Santos Laguna and won the title with Santos with a much more, it's not long ball. There's no way it's long ball. But it's very much more direct, longer passes. The goalkeeper gets the ball and he looks straight to hit the winger, you know, and catch the opposition kind of out of position, basically. Mm-hmm. And I think we've seen, you know, I'd actually pinpoint Caixinha and say he's had quite a cultural impact in Mexico. And, you know, bit by bit, it is changing a little bit. I mean, the way Pumas play, for example, with a number nine, and they get the ball in Carlos Gonzalez, a Paraguayan. Obviously, Paraguayan football is very much, you know, it's pretty much long ball. But yeah, it's definitely been that influence. And I think we're going to see elements of that in the final as well. I mean, Cruz Azul's number nine, Milton Caraglio, is absolutely superb with his back to goal. And Cruz Azul, I think, especially in the first leg, will try and play off that.
Tom Marshall joining us, ESPN FC. By the way, Club America had six different goal scores in that 6-1 win over Pumas in leg number two. There's an 18-year-old, again, I want to remind my audience. My audience will know who he is, but maybe some don't. If you're planning on watching this game Thursday and then on Sunday, this is a wonderful matchup. So I urge you to watch Club America and Unam Pumas. Leg one Thursday, leg number two on Sunday. But an 18-year-old, Diego Lainez, ID him for us. Tell us the qualities that he has and why we should watch him.
Yeah, he's just one of those players that, you know, just exciting, you know. One of those players that if you're a soccer fan, you pay money to go and see. He gets the ball and you kind of sit on the edge of your seat. He can make things happen. He's got a good turn of pace. He's very left-footed, which is both good and bad. But, you know, he's one of those players that he's so young as well, he doesn't really seem to have any fear. And he gets the ball and he likes to run at defenders. You know, I know if you mention Messi, people say it sounds absolutely ridiculous, and it is ridiculous in the sense of the kind of level of talent, because obviously Messi is just absolute genius. But if you say Messi and with the left foot and the way he kind of cuts in off the wing, or can play on the left wing, or can play as a number 10, you get a little bit of idea of what the qualities that Lainez has. He likes to run at players. He also, he can also make assists, and he's got that kind of burst of pace as well. So, yeah, he's an exciting player. I'd say to Cruz Azul as well, Roberto Alvarado, who's been playing a kind of number 10 role. He's been in the national team, Mexican national team as well. He's playing really well. Jordan Sanchez as well. He's been playing left-back for Club America. I think he might have gone to the World Cup with Osorio had he been getting regular minutes before it, because I know Osorio was a big fan. So that's another player there to keep an eye out in the final.
So back to Lainez, the Mexican Messi. Did I get that right? You got to love it. Every country's got their so-and-so Messi, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think every Mexico fan is hoping and praying for that. I think asking for another Messi, whatever nationality is asking just so much,
Yeah, no doubt about it. He's Tom Marshall, ESPN FC. All right, you saw Tata Martino. You saw the great climb to the summit here with Atlanta United. He's done an amazing job. I've had Atlanta United players on. I've had their assistant Dario Sala talking about the type of manager he is. How's it going to be with Mexico? By the way, he had a great quote where he said, where somebody asked him about the pressure on being the manager of Mexico, and he said, "Wait a second, I've been in Argentina." And with his hand, he put Mexico down here, Argentina up here when it comes to pressure. How is it going to work for him down there? Because this guy really seems to be a leader of men. To me, he seems like the perfect manager for Mexico right now.
No, yeah, I think if you were to draw up a list of, potential Mexico managers and exclude, the Pep Guardiola and, managers that are unrealistic, and I think Tata Martino would be, for me, he'd be right up there. I don't think there was a better option that was realistically within Mexico's reach. And I think the Federation have done an absolutely superb job to kind of sell this job to him, because it's not all been a kind of bed of roses this year with the Mexican.
So, Tom, let me stop you right there. What is the sell? Is it strictly financial? What is the sell to come to Mexico and run their national team? Because there is a bit of a circus around it all the time, certainly.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think the sell is the challenge. I mean, and the challenge is so obvious. It's get to that fifth game. I think he'll look at the younger group of players and think this is a really interesting kind of, as a football guy, because we know Martino just loves his soccer. I mean, he just loves it. And
absolutely,
I think him having the opportunity to bring through a younger group of players, mesh them with the older players, he obviously sees potential in that. Obviously, the money's good in Mexico. I think that, living will be very comfortable. Direct flight to Argentina whenever he wants. I think he'll have more time with his family than being with a club. The thing is, Glenn, my only worry about Martino is exactly his answer to that question that you said at the start when he was asked about the pressure. Because I understand what he's saying, 100%. Argentina, there's more pressure than Mexico. Maybe that is true. I don't kind of dispute that. But the thing with Mexico is it's not even the pressure. It's the speculation. It's the demands of a country that let's really be honest, hasn't done too much on the international level consistently ever, really.
That Mexican fans and press, I mean, you have to say their expectations are too high. They're through the roof, right?
Yeah, exactly, and that was Osorio's problem, and that's why Juan Carlos Osorio got so much. He was criticised so much because Osorio would come out and say some comments, and people wouldn't like it. But his comments were kind of geared towards, this is what Mexico needs to do to improve. And then I think specifically the press, and let's not forget, every night in Mexico, it's there's pundits on ESPN, on other stations, 3, 4, 5 other TV stations,
yeah,
sports stations, spewing opinions about the national team manager, and that filters down to the population, obviously. And a lot of the opinions they're not kind of taking a long-term vision of what should happen with the national team. They need hot takes, They want hot takes on what's going on in the game, and I think Osorio really suffers from that. And I just hope that Tata Martino is prepared for that. He's not just prepared for the pressure, because the pressure, I think, he's obviously been in jobs with high pressure. But it's that word, the expectation. that you can draw against Honduras in the Gold Cup, and everybody will be absolutely slamming you. You know, you draw 0-0, you have 70-80% of possession, but you can't put the ball in the back of the net, and then you get absolutely slammed. It's that I think really wore Juan Carlos Osorio down, and I hope Tata Martino is prepared. I think that's my biggest concern about Tata Martino.
Tom, as always, great stuff. You've got us really set up, and you gave us some great things to look for the Club America Cruz Azul first leg on Thursday. As always, thank you very much for coming on the program. We always love it, and I know my listeners do as well.
Thanks very much, Glenn. And yeah, look forward to the two games over the coming days. Thanks a lot.
He's the man, Tom Marshall, ESPNFC. That's where you find his writings. By the way, as we wrap it up tonight, a moment for second hour sponsor, Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm are personal injury attorneys. They're going to bring you a personalized approach. DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. Nobody wants to get in an accident. You might get in a car, motorcycle, industrial, construction, you name it. They've got you covered. They'll work 24/7 nights and weekends. By the way, John Daspit is a soccer fan as well. And he's got on his staff a guy named Michael Grinsfelder who played at American University. They love soccer. So let's give them our business. Get the representation you need at Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Proud sponsors of Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Also, the place to be in Edo, it's King's Court. 903 Hutchins in the shadows of BBVA Compass Stadium. 13 monitors for all your soccer-watching desires. They cover leagues from around the world. Rooftop deck is spectacular. Great view of the stadium. British and Indian pub-style cuisine is also a winner at King's Court. Great food, staff, and selection of bar and cocktails. All at great prices. King's Court, Jay and his wife had that great Indian food out at the event we had at Advantage BMW in Midtown. That does it for tonight. For Tyler Scott, Victor Ariza, I'm Glenn Davis. Remember, on behalf of the firm, remember, soccer matters until next Tuesday.